you're going into some very difficult insights. Whenever we are dealing with something that is not presupposed, such as our life, we enter into mental decline. We have to confront our mental illness. 30 spokes are joined in the wheel's hub. The hole in the middle makes it useful. Mold clay into a bowl. The empty space makes it useful. Cut out doors and windows for the house. The holes make it useful. Emptiness. It is something that, well, is very difficult for the average person to understand. We presuppose our life. We precondition it with ideas of right and wrong, good and bad. Our whole psychology is based around our DNA, interpreted by our genetic nature. Our DNA is to survive at all costs. And our genetic nature is to harbor the presupposition of what that all means. Emptiness is not something which most people would think of as advancement of their intellect. But it is only in emptiness that we realize the significance of life itself, where we can become one in it, where we can find harmony in it. When Lhotse talks about great value in this world, great value in life, he is talking about two different things. The values of this world, the things that allow people to survive, even though they have no, what I would call, heavenly purpose, still exists. People live for the whole idea of just raw survival, the fear of death, the fear of not entering into what is thought of as the end of life. But Lhotse takes a very different point of view. He advocates emptiness, which most people would think of as death. The value of what is visible to our senses is an illusion, pure, unadulterated illusion. We have made up everything that we see in our world, in our material world. We make up strategies to fight for our survival. We allow the mind to conform and configure to hate and fear very easily. There is no deep meaning to our life. There is no true sincerity. The only sincerity we have is for those who help keep us alive and those who supply the substance for delusion and illusion. For instance, like thinking that someone actually loves you. How could anyone love you from the premise of working from DNA, from genetic heritage? You can only appreciate what they have done to help you survive, to help you, as I have written in the commentary, get through. We call that love. It is human love. And it is an illusion and a delusion that removes us from the value of our life, the substance of our living, the quality and the meaning of our existence. You will remember this story, I am sure. It's an old Sufi story, but it is the essence of emptiness that Lhotse is talking about. You remember? An emperor was coming out for his morning walk from his palace, and he met a beggar on the street. He asked the beggar, "And what would you like? What would you want?" The beggar laughed and said, "You are asking me as if you can fulfill my desires?" The king was offended. He said, "Of course, I can fulfill your desires. What is it that you want? Just tell me." Well, this beggar was no ordinary beggar. He was the emperor's past life master, and he had vowed in that life to the king, "I will come and try to wake you up in the next life. This life you have missed, but again, I will come again in a form you will not understand, in a form you will not appreciate." But of course, the king had forgotten completely. I mean, who remembers past lives, honestly? So he insisted, "I will fulfill anything you ask. I am a very powerful and rich man. What could you possibly desire that I cannot give you?" We make these little vows, and these vows are in past lives. Maybe you're doing it in this life where you want to awaken, but to awaken you, to truly awaken you, is not to presuppose your life and assume you understand what your life is all about based on delusion and illusion. So the beggar said, "It is very simple, dear sir. You see this begging bowl? Can you fill it with something?" Well, the emperor said, "Of course I can." He called one of his visors over and told him, "Fill this man's bowl with money." The visor went and got some money, poured it into the bowl, and it suddenly disappeared. And he poured more and more. And the moment that he would pour it, it would disappear. The begging bowl remained empty. The whole palace gathered. By and by, the rumor went around the capital that morning, and a huge crowd gathered. The prestige of the emperor was at stake. He said to his visors, "If the whole kingdom is lost, I am ready to lose it, but I cannot be defeated by this mere beggar," his past life master. Diamonds and pearls and emeralds, his treasure was becoming empty, were poured into that bowl, and the moment that they touched it, it all disappeared. The bowl seemed endless, bottomless. Everything was put into it, everything, and everything disappeared. Finally, it was evening, and the people were standing there in utter silence, in dismay, in shock. The king dropped at the feet of the beggar and admitted his defeat. He said, "Just tell me one thing. You are victorious here, but before you leave, just fulfill one thing, my curiosity. What was that bowl made of?" The beggar looked at him and said, "It is the accumulation all of your past lives. It is the accumulation of your presuppositions. It is made of the human mind. And it is no secret, the human mind is based in desire." Yes. There are two worlds, my dear one. The outer world, which runs by the substance of pro and con, right and wrong. It lives in oppositions and creates everything out of the opposite. If there is to be peace, the mind will make war and think that is the object of the game, the object of the situation. If there is war, then after a while, we get fatigued by it, and then we want peace. But it is a limited peace. We find no peace within ourselves. So this goes on and on, pro and con, right and wrong. We are always in conflict, and our conflict is our issue. Our conflict is our chaos. Lhasa is saying, emptiness is something to be taken seriously. In meditation, we work to let go of all thoughts, to put them aside, not to fight with them, not to make peace with them, but to be passive about them. That they are nothing more than illusion and delusion. Every thought you have is an illusion and a delusion that leads you, if you act on it, which most people do, to more delusion and more illusion. We presuppose our life based on the arrogance of thinking that we know. There is a lot of mental illness in our world today. Quite possibly you are very mentally ill yourself. The only thing that would bring about a healthier point of view, a healthier mind, is a mind no longer seeking to be in conflict with itself. The whole effort of mental emptiness is regarded as clarity, the foremost clarity. A wisdom that liberates us from the assumption of knowledge, of right and wrong, even of good and bad. When a person has no emptiness within them, when they cannot focus, concentrate on the sound of one hand clapping, on the tones I give you in the beautiful meditations that I offer you. When you cannot reach that place within yourself of no thing, a mind no longer filled with things and thoughts. A mind that is empty is one that has learned that all thoughts can be disregarded, not fought with, not wrestled with, but to become passive towards it. You must learn a few things. The first is you do not have conversations with your mind. This is often confused of as contemplation. It is not. It is entering into delusion. So the first thing is, don't talk to your mind. Don't have conversations with it. Number two, learn to step away from your mind by no longer considering it as wisdom or as strategy. Just listen to what it has to say until you realize where it came from, that thoughts are repetitious over and over. And once you truly understand those thoughts, and you understand the nature of them as desire, ambition, pride, vanity, you can step aside from them quite easily. See them for what they are, the monster of my illusions. I hear Gregory. I hear him banging around in there, just like you do. But the one thing that I don't do, that you are prone to do, is think of him as real. He's just a figment of his own imagination. To sit in that would create third person, and that's the next step. To be able to look at your human side with a sense of humor, with a sense of understanding that the conclusions that it reaches are more delusion makers, illusion makers, makes us mentally ill. We're all mentally ill one way or another. Finding my mental illness was the idea of realizing that my mind is a human mind, a mind that is complex, lives off of the unconscious. So once I understood that, I understood why my actions would appear to be the way they are. Self-serving, self-preservation. Once you realize that that's all it's about, then you can step back. You will never return to your mind again. You will never be afraid of the absence of thought, because you will realize those thoughts were nothing more than arrogant strategies for self-aggrandizement, narcissism. It is interesting to meditate, to want nothing with all of your heart, as the Buddha taught. Just to realize there is no need for there to be right and wrong, good and bad. What is the confusion? What is the conflict? Why do we have such inner conflict? Even when you think you're not in conflict, just wait. Just wait. You'll see. It will appear again and again and again. To realize significance. To go beyond the meaninglessness of our ego, our pride. To move into that scary word of generosity. Ooh, I can't do that. Generosity to have mercy and forgiveness. You see, the inner world that we do not understand, it eventually manifests in our outer world in the form of our mental disciplines or the lack thereof. If you understand the nature of the human mind, you will no longer be subject to it. And that's the one thing that the human mind does not want us to understand, does not want us to realize how foolish it is and where its substance lies. If the truth were to be known, we live out of the unconscious mind, not the conscious mind, the unconscious. There's an entirely different psychology to emptiness. A mind no longer in conflict with itself is a very different psychology than a mind that is in conflict with itself. One that does not have conflict is no longer psychology. It is no longer that ideal of being predictable. No. In fact, it is totally different. It is a mind working in and through the order of the universe. You can get a hint of this. I have gotten a hint of it. And once you understand it, you will be free of all of the tragedies that are presupposed in your daily life. Emptiness. I've taught you how. I'll continue to do so in the next discourse. But I want you to really feel the presence of a great love within you. Because it is only in emptiness that we find that love. So let's meditate together. Here is a beautiful, beautiful insight by Tuangtse Lhasa's great disciple. Stop your senses, he says. Close the door. You will not be exhausted, and you will not die. For as long as you live, you will have this silence. Let's do it.